come to you. You are a source of strength. You are present help in times of trouble. And Lord, we know that, we recognize that you are Lord of our life and Lord of this church. And so we come as your people. So we surrender ourselves to you and to your leading. Lord, we know that you do all things for our good. You work everything out for your good purpose. And so, Father, we right now understand wherever you have said where two or three are gathered, you are in their midst. We know that you are here. We know that your presence is here, and we declare that in the name of Jesus Christ, that you are present among us. Father, we ask that you will protect us. You will protect this place with your holy angels, Lord. Just hedge this place so that we would worship you, and so that the enemy would not be able to inflict any kind of thoughts other than thoughts about you, God, this morning. We want clear minds. We want clear hearts. We want, Lord, to come before you as your people and declare that you're Lord of our life. Lord, we praise your name this morning. We praise you for Michelle Vickers, who is in Panama. And Lord, we praise you how you're orchestrating and growing her life. And Lord, how the events that are surrounding her mission experience, Lord, have helped her grow and also are positive. And we pray, Lord, your continued protection upon her. And Lord, we thank you that she is she's excited about this ministry that you've called her to. Lord, we pray for the health needs among us. And Lord, we think of all those who are listed within our bulletin. And Lord, you know each circumstance and every need there. And Lord, you know each family member that's affected. And so, Father, we surrender these names to you and family members to you and pray that you would continue to be their strength and their courage for the days ahead. Lord, we think of those who are grieving, and we think of the Solomon family, and we think of the Peters family, and Lord, we lift them to you and pray, Father, that you would be very close during this time of grief to each one. Lord, it's so good to come and pray together as your people. We pray, Lord, that you would grant to us your fresh wind and your fresh fire just among your people this morning. Lord, we would pray for your peace, for your calmness, for the assurance that beneath us are your everlasting arms. To you be the glory and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I have to tell you that we've been walking through this series, and it's in your bulletin still, The Power of Christ in Our Lives. And the journey has just seen various aspects of living. Today is another area that we need to concentrate on. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And it's so appropriate for us to examine the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I got to tell you I've been doing much prayer, been in much prayer about this subject this morning, because when you talk about the Holy Spirit, you got to do it in such a way that you're not quenching or grieving the Spirit as you do it. And so I was praying a lot this week about that. But I invite you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a great passage of Scripture. And I want you to look just in particular to verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians 5. This is our setting for this morning. This is the backdrop, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. I'll say it again in case you missed it. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Other translations say, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I think that these are the two things that we need to be very concerned about as God's people. Quenching and grieving. We need to be concerned and we need to be prayerful that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, that we do not offend, that we do not vex, that we do not sadden him. And we need to do everything also not to quench the Holy Spirit. There's so much even written within this passage in Thessalonians which will help us burn with the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to burn this morning with the power of the Holy Spirit? Okay, some of you. The rest of you are on fire already, right? There's such power in this. But this passage also includes ways in which we lose the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's why I like this passage. I could speak so much about how we can offend or how we can vex or how we can sadden the Holy Spirit. And likewise, I could also speak about the power of the Holy Spirit and all the workings of the Holy Spirit. I could speak forever about that. Because the Scriptures contain so much about the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit, get this, first of all, provides guidance. Provides guidance. The power of the Holy Spirit provides guidance. Jesus said in John 16:13, he said, when he, that is the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. I love that. Jesus is the truth, and the Holy Spirit's the agent of truth that sanctifies us. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to lay hold of all that Christ is for us and works in us. It's by the Spirit that Christ lives and demonstrates his life in us. The Spirit dwells in our hearts, comes as the Spirit of life, the one who gives life. He also is the power that enables us to live a pure life, a righteous life. So we look at 1 Thessalonians and we understand, do not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. We don't want to put out that fire. It was interesting, as I was doing a bit of research on the power of the Holy Spirit, of course, one of the elements of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down like a fire on the people. And so I was researching a bit on fire, and I read about this police chief who, very busy, one of the busiest police departments fire departments that there were, and in this small town. It was one of the busiest in the country. And no one could attest to why it was that so many fires were happening in this community. It's because the fire chief was going around setting them. And he'd go around and he'd light a fire. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, the fire alarm goes off, and off they go, and they're running, they're saving lives, they're helping people. But it was all fires he set. Not good fires. Bad fires. You get that? Sometimes we burn, but not with good fire. We burn with bad fire. Fire that is not given from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost. There were tongues of fire that settled on the people. The Holy Spirit sometimes comes as a fire or is depicted as a fire, and we don't want to quench that fire that burns in our life. Because to quench means to put out a fire. You know, the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. Everything we do, we should be consumed with him. He's always trying to move and work, operate in our life, and burn up everything that is not consistent with him. And then he sets on fire what remains for his glory. They were always doing that in the Old Testament. I'm reading through the book of Chronicles. 2 Chronicles right now is in 1 Chronicles. If you want to be enjoying something, read through Chronicles. Wow. It starts off with the begats, you know, all the begats, 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 begats. And you're kind of going, all right, what can I get out of this God? But you can even get something out of that. The begats. There were kings in Chronicles who were godly, and they were obedient to God, and they followed God. King David, one of them. But then there were kings who were disobedient to God. They didn't follow God. They didn't know who God was, but they would listen to the counsel of those around him. Like one individual, for instance, listened to, you know, some of his family members and said, hey, let's start bringing in different kinds of worship into the temple of God. And so they brought in different icons, graven images, and the places all, and started worshiping other than God, other things. And so in order to, the one king took over, and in order to once again worship in the temple of God, this is what stood out for me. In order to worship back in his temple, all the graven images, all the idols needed to be removed. Took over 8 days for the priests to remove all the images. The priests would do this. And then they would burn them up. They'd set them on fire, and all the material things that were original to the temple of God, the original things that God wanted there, they were set directly in front of the altar, and they were purified, And it would be literally weeks before any one person could enter into the temple of the Lord because it needed to be purified for the Lord. You see, your body, the temple, the Holy Spirit. He takes up residence when you call on him. But sometimes we bring in little idols, little graven images we bring into ourselves, and we say, well, just a minute, hold it, I got to watch TV more, or, you know, I know I need to do my devotions, but I got to go golfing. Some of you think that is devotions. But, you know, and there's so many things, and beyond that, there's feelings that enter into our being. Well, I don't like what so-and-so did to me, so you know what? I'm going to just avoid them. I don't like that particular aspect of the church, so I'm just going to leave it. I don't like this. And you know what happens? Those are idols taking up residence in the temple. What the Holy Spirit does is comes along and says, I'm going to burn that all away, if you'll let me. I'm going to burn away all that stuff, that garbage, that unrest, that discouragement, that depression, that anxiety. I'm going to burn it all up, and I'm going to make you clean so that you can worship me once again. Amen? I didn't hear you. Right on. We don't want to put out the fire. The fire that remains for the glory of God. He alone provides what you need to live righteously. He alone provides what you need to speak when you completely trust him with your mouth. He alone provides what understanding you require. He alone provides what wisdom you need. He alone provides what it is you need to understand his word when you read it to get you through life. Every day he provides for you. That's why I love the power of the Holy Spirit. When I'm discouraged, he picks me up. When I'm down, he lifts me. When I'm grieving, he comes along and he comforts me, and I can feel his hands around me just grabbing me and saying, it's going to be okay, Deb. You're going to get through this one too because I'm going to help you. Do you ever feel that way? Have any? Ever felt like that? Where you're just down, you're discouraged, and he lifts you up. And I also found something out. You can plan all you want to. You can scheme and you can try to get your way and you can be unhappy all your life, or you can just let God take your hand and let him lead you. I didn't like the scheming stuff. I didn't like making little plots, trying to get my way, making a little plan. It's great when the Baptist Union ever comes in. It's not Baptist Union now. I always think water closet, Western Canadian Baptist. Okay, sorry, did that come? Oh, you guys heard. I'm supposed to shut the mic off of that. They asked me. They said, "How do you lead the church? What plan do you have? Like, do you follow purpose-driven life plan? Like purpose-driven church? Do you follow Heibel's Willow Creek model? Do you follow Tony Campolo's Let's Get Poor model? What do you follow? What is it? What program have you put in place?" And I said, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, there's good stuff and all that stuff, but we don't follow any of that. We just follow God, and he tells us what we need. Because I learned a long time ago, if you try and follow those plans that other people have, you become very discouraged very quickly. You become very downtrodden. And in fact, when I read some books, I mean, you know, in married life, I mean, I bought so many different books in because I do a lot of marriage stuff, and I read through some of that stuff, and you can become discouraged reading it. Why? Because I need to be in this book, the Bible. I need to find out what God says. Great to read other books, but this is ultimately where my devotion needs to be. That's why it's called devotions, when we're in the Word of God. Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, fan the flame that was in him, to fan that inner flame that once burned in him. What kind of fire is burning in you today? Is it a fire of anger? Is it a fire of resentment? Is it a fire of jealousy? Is it a fire of selfishness? Is it a fire of my own wants, my own needs, my own desires? What fire is burning within your inner self? That's the question. What's burning here? The power that is within you is the power of the Holy Spirit, if you allow Him to burn in you. You can see and know the power of the Holy Spirit as you fan that flame, the fire consumes you. I don't know about you, but I want to have a fire burning in my belly. Praise God. Do you want a fire in your belly? Once you're going, I have to eat lunch, you know. Do you want a fire in your belly? Was it Jeremiah who said, your word was like fire shut up in my bones? I think we need to live with that fire burning on the inside of us. I don't want a deadness in me. And I don't want a coldness about me. I want a fire. And I want it to burn. D.L. Moody, great preacher, said once, it's not something to this effect. It's not the programs. It's not the outreach programs that any preacher needs to get consumed about. But the preacher just needs to get on fire. And people will come for miles to watch you burn. Burning fire, consuming fire, great power in the fire of the Holy Spirit. We heard last Sunday about how God heals. Pastor Jeremy did a great job of pulling in illustrations, and we could all tell our own story about how the power of God brought healing. That's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rescues. The Holy Spirit heals. The Holy Spirit delivers. The Holy Spirit proclaims. The Holy Spirit protects. The Holy Spirit provides. Who would not want that kind of power? I don't want anything to quench the Holy Spirit because I need that flow in my life. Everybody say flow. Flow. Let me hear you say it. Flow. You're all thinking washerman now, aren't you? I need the flow in my life. I need the Spirit to just flow. And that's when I realized that the Holy Spirit provides guidance for everything. But the Holy Spirit also points properly. See, we're to focus on Christ, but live by the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. See, the first is empowered and directed by the second. Every aspect of our Christian life is performed by the Holy Spirit, but Scripture clearly explains that the Spirit's main objective is to point to Christ. But we so often quench the power of Spirit in our life. We do. Pastor Jeremy spoke last Sunday about the power of prayer, and we need to pray. This is one thing you need to pray for. You need to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill, to mold, to shape us into the people who are representatives of Christ. D.L. Moody said again, he said, you can't lose your ribs, but you can lose your filling or empowerment by grieving the Spirit and by quenching the Spirit, making the person a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian. Whew. That's one who does the things warned against in this passage, and we put out the fire, we extinguish the flame. Look at this passage a little more clearly. 1 Thessalonians. I want you to see before this verse. Look at verse 12. Now we ask you, brotherethiseth and sisteretheseth, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. We must respect those who are our employer, our boss. We must respect our teachers, our principals. We must respect our elders, our pastors, those who are in authority over us. If we do not do that, then we quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit no longer burns. This passage goes on and it says, live in peace with each other. We must live in peace. Not gossiping, not mudslinging, not tail-bearing, always looking for a hiccup to just lunge at, to argue over. When we're not at peace, we're at war in our spirit. But when we're at peace, we are possessed by the Holy Spirit. You know, I liken all of this to being a father. or being a parent, your home. You know, when my children do something that, you know, and I, you got a point, you watch, you know, your children do things. And some of the decisions I think, oh, I wouldn't do that. I certainly wouldn't climb on top of the house and try and jump off. Wait a minute, I did do that. But, the choices, and I think, I wouldn't, oh. And you know, as I think back to my parents, my mother and father, who raised five boys, my being the best, I think about what they went through, my oldest brother, and you know, the trials that they went through with him, and I remember seeing my mother and my father cry at times because of the decisions that he was making, or get upset with some of our choices that we make about school curriculum or thing, you know, just different things, and I liken that to the Holy Spirit. When we live in such a way where sin becomes our idol, when we live in this way that says, hold them in the highest regard and love, when we don't do that, when we don't live in peace with each other, I tell you what, the Holy Spirit weeps, sits beside you, and cries when you make a choice that isn't pleasing to God. Imagine that you decide that you're not going to cleave to His Word, that you decide that you're going to make a choice that you know is not going to be better in the end, but you still choose to, when you open your mouth and you're gossiping or tail-bearing or looking for something to get somebody agitated about. I could list many other things. When you discourage somebody, I could list so many things. The Holy Spirit is right there, grieving, lamenting, crying. And I think one of the things that we're very good at, how we quench the Holy Spirit, is that we presume rather than we pray. That means is that we don't bother to find out what God's will is about a thing. What we just kind of do, we just kind of go along and we hope God will get on board and just make it work. Anybody in here maybe a little guilty of that? Because I am. We assume that it'll be okay with God. Sounds like a good thing. Might as well do it. I've been praying for an open door. There's an open door. I'm going to run through it, jump through it. But not every door that opens is a God door. Not everything that's good is the best thing that God has for you. Amen? Get this? You can't do it yourself. You can't live life with joy, as it says. Let's go on here. We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. We do the opposite. We usually discourage the timid. We usually downtrodden the weak. We're usually not patient, at least this is me. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Oh, what joy came upon me. What praise was on my lips when the Holy Spirit did an amazing work in my life. And I stand here today to tell you that your pastor prays continually for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't have this all together. I slip sometimes. I fail sometimes. I open my lips and sometimes I offend. I know. I find that hard to believe myself. I'm speaking about this today because I love you, and I think that without a doubt, I know that you love God. But we plan, and we make our plans, hoping that somewhere along the line, God will just jump on board. Or sometimes we have success in an area two or three times, and then we begin to think that we don't need to pray about it anymore. It's a piece of cake.
Well, I know how to do that. I mean, God showed me that three times already.
My Bible says that Jesus said, apart from me, you can do how much? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Nothing. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Say that with me. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Think about it. If we work to solve our own problems, we're telling God that we don't need or we don't want his help. This grieves the Holy Spirit, causes him to hold back his power in our lives. What we've seen from the scriptures is that the Holy Spirit's power can depart from our lives and from the church. And I don't think any of us want to lose the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because we realize that according to Zechariah, God cannot work solely through our might or our power. What is done through our own efforts is usually very limited. The scripture tells us that God accomplishes his work through the power of his Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Jesus. When we know that without Christ we can do nothing, then we begin to live a joyful, thankful life. We can speak to God just freely and openly. We become encouragers. We read the Word. We live the Word. We're empowered with a fresh wind and a fresh fire. There's a fire that burns deep within our belly that we can't contain. It's like filling a glass full of water. If it keeps running the tap, you know what happens? You know what happens? Good. Your people have done this before. You know, and it overflows. That's what happened. Fill me. Holy Spirit, enter into me. Fill me so that I overflow. But if I keep making my plans, doing my thing, it's like these two women met for the first time since high school. The first one asked, have you managed to live a well-planned life? Oh, yes, said her friend. First, I married a millionaire and an actor. My third marriage was to a preacher, and now I'm married to an undertaker. What do all those marriages have to do with a well-planned life? Said her friend. She responded back. She said, well, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. That was bad. Good but bad. See, we plan. There are things that just seem right, and when we think they're right, they feel right, and so we assume they're right. I got to tell you, friends, we need to not make a plan and then pray that God will make it work. We need to pray and then wait on God and watch him work. When you wait on God, he gives you the plan, and then it will work. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it you know, people tell you should write a book about this. Well, it's right here. Just follow this. It's all you have to do. Because that's the power. We need to pray for one another. The Spirit helps us do that. The Spirit causes us to pray for one another. The amazing thing about prayer, and Pastor Jeremy spoke about this last week. He used a passage from Ephesians 6, I believe it is. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all. I think that's the passage. And it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. We need to pray. And the beautiful part about that passage is that when I pray to God, we can be flowery or we can just be to the point. The Spirit goes and intercedes for us and makes it all make sense. That's why I will always hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's so much more that I could say about the Spirit's activities in life, in the life of the believer. I mean, it could be listed. I could go on and on and on. I mean, we are sanctified by the Spirit. We pray by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. We worship in the Spirit. We're strengthened by the Spirit. We walk by and according to the Spirit. We're taught by the Spirit. We produce good fruit by the Spirit. And there's power in the Spirit. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes to you, he will guide you into all truth. Wow. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. See, I hope you understand this morning the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do for you and to you. The truth shall set you free, said Jesus. The truth's not an enemy seeking to expose us. It's liberating. When our life is spiritually filled with the Spirit, we know the power of freedom. This morning you may not feel free. You may feel rather empty, maybe even burdened. You may feel a sense of fear. You may feel very cautious. You may even feel paranoid. Everyone's out to get you. You may feel depressed. You may feel burdened and anxious. You need to speak the truth this morning. Release all of that to Him, to God Himself. With tears, you weep inside, but you're not free enough to weep openly. Allow yourself to be. Allow the mighty power of the Holy Spirit change you from the inside. Call out to Him. Allow the Spirit to strengthen you. Allow the Spirit to lead you, to teach you, to produce good fruit in you. Cry out to Him. Accept His mighty power. If you're coming to Him today and you're saying, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me. Lift your hand. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just lift your hand. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees all those hands. Fill me. Just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Enter my life. Enter into my life, Lord. Now maybe this morning you need to say, I got to get rid of those idols, those things that I've been harboring inside, those feelings, the sense of resentment. And maybe it's time for you to surrender the idols that are within your temple, your very being. This morning is the time to do that, to surrender those graven images that you've put there. If you're coming to Him today and you're saying, Father, I release to you my pain, my sin, my sorrow, whatever it is that you're holding on to, my depression, my grief, I surrender to you the temptation that I've allowed myself in. I surrender to you my discouraging heart. I surrender to you my bitter spirit, my resentment to other people. I surrender to you even my job today, God. And I allow your Holy Spirit to take up residence in this temple, in His temple once again, and purify me. If you're calling out to Him like that today, just lift your hand up. Lord, bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees those hands. Father, this morning we have talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, and there has been a fresh wind and a fresh fire in this room. And Lord, I know that the words that come out of my mouth, Lord, I just pray that these words would be glorifying to you. And even this morning, Lord, I surrender to you my very will, because I do not want to do anything, Lord, anything to grieve you, to hurt you. Lord, this morning is all about you. It's not about us. It's about you. And we, Lord, have sung songs where we've cried out to you, breathe on us. We've cried out to you, Lord, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. We acknowledge that. And we just pray that, Lord, as your people, that you'd fill us so that we would not do our plan, but that we would do your will. I pray this to your glory and your honor. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Worship team, please.